Yeah. It was just a group of people. It was a group, local group of people for the work. There was somebody there, and we were talking about colonoscopies, and like one person pipes up and says, yeah, so-and-so, she likes it up the ass. Too much information.
That was at work?
No. This is with the work.
Oh, like the Byron work. Oh, well, everyone that knows Byron Katie likes it.
The survey was, I found 80%
survey
Byron Katie's followers. I can up the ass.
What kind of a group is this?
60% of the time.
That's it. From now, we're going to start studying The Course in Miracles because this has gotten out of hand. No, don't go there.
No, it's fine.
Course in Miracles is okay.
We fine got to this point.
Exactly. Hi, how you guys doing?
It's orgy night. Come on down.
Really?
Colored balls.
Oh, boy.
Up
here.
Oh boy.
Let's just have to nibble on each other.
And we will. All right, let's talk about something spiritual to entrain the good faith of the people watching from home.
We have people watching?
Yeah, there's like 30.
Great.
He's making more jokes.
Me too.
There's a few people that are watching. We probably know who they are.
We're not as derelict as we sound.
Well,
NSA.
We might talk about him.
More
so
derelict than
we kind of did that already. It was not eventful.
So the most, I thought one of the more interesting exchanges at the conversation with Paul Hederman and those aspirants that were gathered was a woman that was, you know, leaning into the essential paradox at hand.
The first woman in the green thing that was like short.
Yeah, it might have been her. Yeah.
Was this at the talk or at Phoebe's house?
At the talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. What happens at Phoebe's house stays at Phoebe's house. You can't even talk about that. You know, so she had clearly, you know, she's been around this stuff. She was not a newbie, so she was familiar with some vocabulary, and of course she'd reached her own, you can tell she'd reached her own, you know, conclusions, as we inevitably do, as concerns the imbibition of non-duality teachings. But she was leaning into that really kind of sweet spot that is likewise infuriating, which is the immediacy of how to, right? Or the immediacy of what about, where the, you know, one sense of adventure, one sense of curiosity is really leaning on the invitation. And that's it's an interesting place to hang out. And it's not that easy to hang out there either. Because as you're doing it, you're in inception. You're liquidating and evaporating and morphing in real time as you're attempting to, you know, apprehend, imbibe or make, let's call it, realization your own.
You mean you're waiting for instruction, more or less?
Well, it's not so much instruction, because instruction can often be like, you know, give me something that I can go and practice after I leave here. That never fucking works, but can fill your time. No, she was actually sitting in it with him, right? Like, kind, you know, just wanting to lean into the implication of his invitation and his message, that being presently minded, presently appearing, presently revelatory liberation, right? That's the fun of it. And she was doing a pretty good job of it, really. I mean, it is paradoxical. What else could it be? Because any attempt to, you know, what would you call it, grasp or feel or experience or even receive evidence of, is thwarted by, you know, the filters that you bring to the apprehension. So you first have to, which is what we do so well, separate ourselves from, you know, the impossibility of being, so that we can creaturefy, disgruntled with our successful creaturefication, and then return to some or many bodies of teaching to try to get back, right? To call it a liberated or enlightened understanding or condition. It's fun. Hi. So that's why I kind of enjoy that, you know, let's just say in my own consciousness, if I had any, and that's pretty well fucking shot, or watching it occur, let's say, in a meeting of that kind.
What's going on here?
It's a ball party. It's rap party. So,
yeah.
That's happy rap party. It's the only way we cannot do drugs. Like,
yeah.
With that brain ball.
We've decided to roll on balls as a intervention for our heavy drug use.
Your hat makes it appear that the drugs might have already occurred.
Mm.
That's a part of beret.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The artist.
Yeah. I don't know how to paint, but I look like I like to paint.
He's got the sparkling water. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to cut off my ear right here, and we'll be done with that. So that I just brought that up because, you know, we don't know what else the hell to talk about once we're done with one or various forms of sodomy. We covered it.
We went through that quick.
So that's the leaning in, right? There's that, you know, lovely, infuriating interest availability for, you know, cathartic understanding. But every time it kind of lurches forward, either for a metaphor or evidence or, you know, a how to either practice now or later or to imagine the implications of it, it stalls. It just stalls. And that's...
too much lean?
Well, no. Well, not so much too much or too little. It stalls because, as Paul was reinforcing a lot during last evening's talk, those metaphors that the Buddhists and the Hindus use, you know, you can't use the Buddha to seek the Buddha, and you can't see the seeing, and you can't hear the hearing. Because this is a singularity of demonstration, felt without delay, without interpretation, right? This is felt without delay or interpretation. It's actually felt non-dually. I mean, perfectly enlightened. Present experience is perfectly enlightened, period. So what happens? What is it that creates the sense of an intermediary that is capable of convincing itself that it's less than enlightened? Right? This isn't the problem. How could it be? It's done. It's done. But it's our... the habit of how we feel or interpret or imagine or occupy this already doneness that appears to reinforce the sense of being other than this, or that this is other than thou. Thou this is other than itself. And so we end up in a curious state, as if it were a state, of space, time, self-assessment. Self-assessment is space, time. They're exactly the same. So there's a habit which we haven't necessarily voluntarily adopted, of presuming this to be something that maybe it's not, or presuming ourselves to be, which includes the demonstration of experiencing, to be something other than what it might actually be. And in that capacity of reifying, anthropomorphizing yourself as an individuated being, well, now you have instantly a tremendous volume of personal inventory. I mean, like faster than your whole life is, I mean, based more or less created instant by instant with by a force that, cannot be named, kind of like Voldemort.
Custom crafted and enticing. You're just like, yes. You look around and you're like, pick anything.
Yes.
I mean,
custom
anything.
Custom crafted and enticing without delay.
Yeah.
I mean, the theater of yourself takes how long, for the stagehands to set up or for the lighting people to get it right. Every number is perfect. There's no rehearsal. You come out on stage instantaneously from moment to moment, and everything's fucking perfect and on cue. And guess what? The audience is loving it. Even though we might from time to time be egregiously miserable, so what? The theater must go on. The show must go on. Break a leg. Right? So this is a theatrical presentation. Who or what is it presenting for? Well, itself. It's a theater of one. But the mistaken notion of our being individualistically created of a loving union, right? And then dwelling on, the planet under the azure skies, breathing the invisible gas with just the right combination of, nitrogen and oxygen and unfortunately rising CO2 levels, makes so-called everyone think that they're the shit, or that your experiencing is local respect.
That would seem to be all there is. I mean, that's the whole world and universe to any individual until they trip over the notion of inquiry beyond that.
Yes.
And
even long after one trips over the notion of inquiry.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the puzzle of it all is, well, to our benefit, strangely intimate all the time. The puzzle of your liberation and the puzzle of your imagination or presumption that you could be something other than that is always at hand. I mean, beautifully, immediately, immaculately at hand and on cue, perfectly demonstrating itself. But we end up coming up with so many reasons to be so impatient or annoyed or prideful of everything, because the theater is so good. We're reading everybody's lines. We're hogging the stage, we're upstaging all the other players and reading everyone's lines. And we won't stop because we're just like, oh, acting. Yeah. Baudelaire. That's how good this is.
And you're having a good time doing it.
Even we are if having a good time.
You're still.
We are having a great time.
If you didn't like it.
Doing it. Horrible. Even with suffering. A great time. Yeah. Yeah. A really good time. Even with the suffering. Even with all that misgiving. And us, what do we suffer from? Bucks County white privilege.
Affluenza.
We suffer from affluenzas. Spiritual affluenza.
We suffer from, it's like everything's so perfect. We're like, oh boy.
Yeah, we're kind of bored because everything's so perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go talk to the people. But Syria, you guys bored over here? How's
yeah.
going?
Yeah. Yeah, you Syrian guys. Yeah. Hey, how's Pretty that bored? Refugee thing going? Go Boy, that looks like a rough haul, huh? We're going to go see a double feature.
I know.
And IMAX. What are you guys going to do?
Waste a lot of food.
Yeah.
What are you guys
going to do? Throw out ugly fruit.
Get the shit bombed out of you?
Yeah.
Sucks.
We're just going to throw away ugly fruit. Nobody needs to eat that.
Ugly fruit, it's insane. I don't think I realized how much they actually, before you even get to the shelves, just throw everything away.
This world is heartbreaking.
I can see them now marching, you know. Just do not discriminate.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
All the funky fruit, you know, marching down the streets.
What is the deal with the picking up of the guns, you know, and the building of supreme weapons? What's the deal? How did this absurd, you know, itsy bitsy mind create such a behemoth of, you know, fear and loathing and hatred and xenophobia to invest so much time and so much money, so much resources in, you know, weapons of violence.
That's quite an investment.
Quite an investment. Tie a yellow ribbon, baby, support our troops. You know, run off and kill strangers in foreign lands so that you can drive to the theater. Or whatever. I mean,
well, like,
how did this
starving to death and we're throwing away like not good looking apples?
How did this whole fucking shitbox of a world get this whacked out? Acting.
Because like, everything is like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the human realm that's fucked up. That's the. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
This goes all the way down.
It's carnage. It's carnage all the way down.
I see it as like a forgetting.
Yeah.
That there's a stage and a role, and that the role is mistaken as reality, as truth, as something that can last and be invested in and improved and signed up and amplified and protected. And,
yes.
You know.
And that's just the start.
And on and on, ad infinitum.
Right. The curious miracle of the anthropomorphization of self is the, right? The brainchild of all of this misery.
it is fun to switch that thing instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that this kind of reminder, or I don't know what it is, that it's instantaneous. As soon as you let the identity do what it does, it's like there's momentum there.
Yeah.
But identification can be untethered instantaneously.
Yes.
Which I find pretty cool. Or
yes.
Not even the eye finds it. It's just
cool.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that reinforces the observation that this is always perfectly intimate and perfectly liberated, though it need not be liberated from anything.
Still be suffering.
And include, right, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. See, it's the imagination of the individuated seeker as a body, as a mind, as a plethora of memories, as a portfolio of disappointment, right, and addiction and recovery and on and on and on and on, that imagines itself to be craving a supreme condition, which is sometimes referred to as, you know, enlightenment or liberation or awakening or something. So it's the myth of one's so-called continuity that senses, you know, a deep existential disappointment and then craves for the resolution of that deep existential disappointment, but as the craver. So, yeah, you have to go backwards. reverse into the future. That was a little quote from, I don't know, Nirsagadatta or Ramesh or something I read somewhere. Yeah. I think maybe Nirsagadatta said it, you know, reverse into the future. And Ramesh was like, you know, stumbling through universes. How did he, what did he mean? How did he, one of those kind of moments. Yeah. And yeah, that's a good metaphor because here we are reversing into the future. This is it. This is always it. This is it. This is it. What, you know, this is it. So you can begin to see how you invest with no effort, with no prodding, in a myth of continuity, of body, of circumstances, of events, of self-preservation, self-protection, self, you know, esteem, self-validation, etc., etc., and are, you know, kind of made miserable by virtue of your own imagination. And that immediately sets up as the craving for something better or something different, something liberated as contrasted with something that looks a lot like me.
Well, it seems like just a more kind of general, like you're just craving for future, but I don't even know. The
craving
for time.
Is future.
For time.
Yes.
It's not like necessarily, I mean, it could be anything.
Anything.
But you're just have some
yes.
imaginary whatever
uh-huh.
thing that you're enjoying.
Yep.
And then you're just craving for
yep.
whatever that is. You know.
Craving is future. Wow.
Like the dog salivating all over himself.
Yeah. Yes. So that kind of drawing one's attention to be as local, as present, as possible is a useful aspect of, you know, any of these kinds of teachings. Because you want to rally or harness the call it the gist of your attention, to be present, meaning to be in receipt, if you will, or attentive to what's arising so-called now. Because if you're drifting in an identity made of memory or continuity and circumstances and events, you're not sufficiently intimate, right, to give your attention to the arising of the myth of yourself here. Right? So the guy that we had dinner with, whatever, you know, or whomever, you know, anyone, most people, if you attempt to enroll them in a certain kind of intimacy and therefore help assist them or threaten them to wean themselves from the myth of the story of themselves, some of us are like, whoa, that's kind of weird and kind of cool, maybe a little too intimate. I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but I'll take baby steps, right? And some, whoosh, you know, head for the door.
Well, it's fraught with suspicion, you know. I mean, and maybe this is the wrong path, or maybe I'm not ready, or I don't want to go there yet, or I don't know what this guy's talking about.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
Like
there,
it places the... It takes the ball and puts it kind of in your, it's like it's on your, you know, if you're saying, no, you are enlightened, it's like, no, do I now have to behave a certain way? Like, I don't want that much pressure. No,
I know.
Just look at that guy.
That's right.
And I don't want to go there.
That's okay. True.
Because I'm crazy.
People on a pedestal. So
yeah.
You don't have to
yeah. Then there's pressure that's like, no.
Yes. And you can see the naivete of even imagining that there is an enlightened. Because now, you know, now if you're not wearing a diaper and being kind to people, well, you can't really be enlightened. You know, if you're enlightened, you have to wave your hands around and, you know, speak in confident tones and, you know, become stiff every once in a while, and, you know, all the other things that we've read about that we envy. You have to fucking bilocate, maybe, you know, or eat a mono diet.
Give, even when you're not sure if you have.
Yeah, you have to give, even though you're not sure if you have. Yeah, you have to do all those kinds of things to make you look like, you know, that you're enlightened in a Christian way. Like, I don't think so. You know. but that's another deferral mechanism, right? It's another deflection and deferral mechanism to pile all of these, you know, qualities of, you know, ascension behavior or psychic sensitivity or mediumship or foretelling the future or walking on water or, you know, raising people from the dead. Could you imagine how pissed off you'd be if someone raised you from the dead? It's like, Jesus, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, you wake me up in my sleep. I'm like,
would you really want to be raised from the dead? Oh, hey, thanks, Jesus. That really went my way. Nothing wrong with dead.
You didn't send an alarm clock for a reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was so angry for so long. They didn't write about that. Fucking Jesus, what the fuck? Raise me from the fucking dead. Shit. I'm going to find a goddamn cliff. Where can I find a goddamn cliff around here? I'm going to just crawl up to the top of the Wailing Wall and try again.
I hope you can't find me.
Sounds like Groundhog Day.
It does sound like Groundhog Day. And then Jesus raises you again. That would be an interesting Groundhog Day, right? Lazarus getting raised over and over again by Jesus. Shit. How many goats do you have, Lazarus? Where were we? Yeah, so there's something about the impossibility of a quality of intimacy, but it's not intimacy with or not intimacy between, you see? It's the harnessing or the aggregation of your sentient curiosity, which is presently considering, presently dreaming. Deal with that. Because if you imagine that there's some liberation, which is other than what's this is right now, you're only dreaming that. You can only be dreaming that. And then if you're looking for symptoms of some kind of liberation and actually find some, well, you're dreaming that too.
I think the problem is, like, the dreaming is just right too often to, like, really just abandon it. Because I think, like, oh, if I put my hand in that candle, it probably really fucking hurt. And it's like, I don't know that for sure, but I've touched fire a few times, and it's right, at least to some degree.
Well, that's projection based on so-called prior experience.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't know.
I'm not going to put my fucking hand in that candle.
Okay. I didn't, yeah. Okay. Don't do it.
And that, you know, then it's like you can spin grander stories. Then you're like, okay, this is, like, you know, obviously bullshit. But I feel like there's just...
Why does Tony Robbins make such good money having people walk on coals?
Because they don't realize it's not anything special.
I don't know. You know?
I'm
not a coal walker.
Yeah.
Not a coal walker.
It's all in the ash.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never guessed it about you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot more coal than Trump's in office.
That's going to be a lot more fire walking.
Sick reference.
Oh, boy.
Plenty of coal now. Clean. Maybe we should get on that.
It's smoldering embers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we thought we were going to die quickly, like, a, you know, 100 days ago. It's worse.
It's
just got worse. Yeah. Oh, shit happens.
What's interesting, there can be various things that wake us from the dream, and sometimes it's this idyllic image of future when things turn out a certain way, politically, socially, whatever it is,
yes,
romantically, spiritually, and then when it doesn't, you think, oh, fuck, and then you go, oh, wow, That was actually a gift.
Yeah, why not look?
In a sense, because if waking up is getting exactly what you want,
ew,
you've only got a bigger self that wants more, in a sense, or you can.
The last thing you want is to get what you want.
Rather than, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Having generally a lack of motivation to aspire to something, I used to think was problematic.
Yeah.
And now I see
you're ahead of the curve.
I see it as like, fucking A, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because that craving or desire is just making do. It doesn't need to repeat something over and over again, usually.
Look what's happening.
Usually.
You're adding a, you know, kind of a super, superstructure on something.
You got me.
Which is like, you know, none of that. Yeah, none of that really happened.
Yeah, I got a paintball on my chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't even have to lift my finger anymore. You know? Yeah. That's right. It's always a great, you know, and cogent example of how we conjure a field of imaginative implication concerning our behavior, the behavior of others, my spiritual IQ, my behavioral IQ, whether I'm hitting the Course in Miracles really hard or I'm starting to slip, and you're like, what? But that's all of that is the characterization of the myth of self, which then ends up with plenty of evidence, right, to say, I'd like to be enlightened, maybe, kinda, I'm not really sure what it is, you know, or what the point of it would be, but it sounds maybe kinda nice, but I'm sure not there yet, har, har, har. What?
And you don't even know, like, if this is like, yeah, you could be enlightened, but everything's going to go south, you're like, never mind. I mean, you know, you have usually Mickey Mouse, ideological.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, something about, like, because in those situations it's so contrived with the person sitting up there, and if you hang out with them,
yes,
you're like, wait a minute.
Yes.
In a regular.
Yeah. Yeah, giving a rousing lecture on whatever the hell is spoken about creates a, you know, kind of an artificial environment of laying down some tracks and, let's say, engaging an audience, right, in kind of like, nobody knows what they're talking about. It's not like anything's real or true. It's not like anything actually happened or is going to happen differently if you are earnest about your, you know, enlightenment pursuits. You know, nothing's going to fucking happen. You may as well just start waving your hands around now. If you like Nir Sagadatta, just wave your fucking hands around and you're enlightened. You're enlightened as he was. You know, say outrageous things with great confidence about the self and add water and stir enlightenment. If you like Ramana Maharshi, you can behave like him.
The quality of discernment changes, you know, because I mean, back in my early years, I was never much of a diehard Christian, but I used to sort of get a kick out of watching really the old timers, Bishop Sheen, when I was a little kid, tiny kid. And then,
Are early TV.
Crystal
Cathedral.
The Crystal Cathedral.
Robert Schuller.
Oh my.
Yeah, he was good.
No wonder you're so messed up.
But yeah. I wouldn't get like all fervent.
Were you like two?
But you know what? I was listening to Katie Couric doing an interview with Tony Robbins.
Oh wow! Okay.
I was listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
And I listened to about 30 minutes of it. And I'm like, I can't do
that. You did 30 minutes.
I did 25.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, the guy has...
Tony Robbins is such a poser.
But he has such a talent. I mean, he has this God-given...
Yes, yeah, you're right.
He has the right stuff.
He has posing on tap.
I mean, he is incredible.
He does. Yeah, he is.
And it just doesn't land anywhere.
No, it doesn't go anywhere.
You know, but...
Yeah.
I've always been
it's just evaporating enthusiasm about nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, it all ties together really nice. When
well, it puts money in the bank.
It seems like he's having fun with dinner.
Yeah.
He loves himself when he's performing.
But I can't handle that stuff much anymore.
Who doesn't?
You know, it's just...
Yeah. Well, he's no Robert Schuller.
I should try to listen to that again.
It seems as if the mistake is localizing the value.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's my source. Fucking A. Or that. Oh, now that. Mm-hmm. You know, as mm-hmm. opposed to... the certain energy is undeniable.
Yeah. Right? You're,
when you're in the presence of a certain energy, it's undeniable in its like what its effect.
Yeah.
But we attribute tend to attribute some personal attribute.
The attributing.
Yeah. To it
is the myth of self. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's fun to see because the attributing. Is so, let's just say, so wonderfully inclusive. I don't have to go through layers and layers and lenses of the symptoms of attributing. Mm-hmm. I can see all, right? The geometry, the fullness of attributing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's intimacy, of course. Mm-hmm. Because now I don't have to, you know, I don't have to tell a bunch of stories to see in so-called real time, were there any, as in right now, what the movement, the texture of attributing looks and feels like. And by virtue of seeing it that clearly, right, without, not, you can't be defended, right? Because if you're defended, you're not going to see it clearly. You're going to have all kinds of weird wormholes to escape from. So you see the movement of attributing impersonally, in its entirety, with no excuse, no justification, no explanation, no attempting to wiggle free, and it blows your fucking mind because you're a poser. And then it collapses. That's what we're looking at. We're always in the face of the collapse of attributing, which is liberation. And it doesn't need any further demonstration. It doesn't need any further evidence. You don't have to be any different than you are, or better in any way, or more patient, or eat less, or anything. What the hell? You don't have to impress anybody with, you know, you're just how, you know, let's say wise or insightful you are. What would be the point of being wise and insightful? You know, leave that to Tony Robbins.
Well, you can at least have a lot of balls.
You can have a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can, that, you know, the dollar store and or figuratively or literally or whatever you got going on.
Well, when spontaneous healing, too, happens.
Yes.
People attribute it to location. They attribute it to a spiritual phenomenon, saint, an energy.
Yeah, there's
intervention.
Yes.
Time from one dimension to this.
A receipt of energy from out there.
Yes.
Seemingly, you know, that's
yeah.
the way it's.
Well, that's, see, but that's oh. also that's also the dilemma. Our dear friend, last night was saying how, you know, she found Paul through, you know, these various things because of, you know, Jimmy up in Bethlehem and Course in Miracles and whatever the hell they do up there, you know. You know, the law of attraction according to Abraham Hicks. I mean, someone's name is Hicks. Are you really going to take it any further than that? So Rupert Spira, you know, she's been on one retreat and then a second retreat with Rupert Spira, and she was remarking with, you know, really infectious enthusiasm that though his teachings are kind of dry when you see him on YouTube or something like that, around him, the love is thick, very thick. The love is thick. And, you know, this experience, if, you know, you're lucky to have run into it, you'll see it. You know, you can hang out with certain persons of, you know, call it awakened fervor. And you can be kind of, you know, swept away in a certain electromagnetic, you know, transmission or a certain kind of harmonic. You can fall asleep. You can become elated. You can become disturbed. You can become all kinds of things. But it's a demonstrative experience, and it's easy to attribute it to, you know, the guru du jour, you know, broadcasting this love energy out. And there that was. Now, as much fun as it is, as righteously fucking cool as so-called transmission is, and, you know, why put a damper on it, it's another form of attributing.
Well, it's interesting.
it's seductive.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, I went to see Jeannie last summer, and there was nothing other than just total normalcy.
Huh. You lucked out.
Because your head was in a different place. I mean,
I don't know.
You don't know. You
just can't.
No way to know.
You can't say.
But listen, this is theater, and we're drug addicts for experiencing, for attributing. Okay, I get that. Fine. So transmission, you know, thick transmission like molasses from, you know, call it an awakened soul that is arousing, you know, your thing, your space, it's fun, it's luscious, there's no doubt about it. But it's also attributing. I, you know, maybe I have a bias, maybe I got a few, maybe I got a million, maybe I got none, I don't know, fucking no. But anything that's showing up, that's arousing you sensually, spiritually, emotionally, you know, physically, sexually, whatever, is the seduction of, right? Attributing.
And it's like obvious if you have the same experience, like you wouldn't, like you can experience a flower, a tulip, let's say,
yeah,
different ways, you know, so
yeah,
why couldn't you experience for spirit different, you know, it's like a different,
yes,
everything is like that.
Yeah.
So how would you, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah,
make up a story? It just is like.
And after she was speaking, you know, candidly and you know, lovingly about Rupert and some other things, I just chimed in. But I said, so when are you going to go back on retreat with Rupert? And she said, oh yeah, in June. I was like, how did I know that? I mean, she, you know, she didn't skip a beat. June. And this is after being in love with him and with Paul and with Course in Miracles and with Roger Castillo and with, you know, we're in love, we're in love, we're in love, we're in love with, you know, whoever's coming to town next. Someone that lives down the corner, no, not with them. No, I'm in love with all the celebrities that are coming to town. Yeah, you've probably walked, you know, by the Wawa with, you know, a dozen people that are, you know, more awake than Roger Castillo is, but you wouldn't even notice it because they just, you know, got a chocolate milk and a tasty cake. They're not enlightened.
Just reminded me, too, of the field of expectation.
Yeah.
Here's one person that's enamored by the teacher, you might say, the energetic teacher. And then you have a whole room full,
yeah,
of devotional energy.
Yes.
And again, the mistaken thing is it's up there. It's like, no, you guys are creating.
That's right.
It's you're in the,
yep,
suit, man.
Yep.
It's self-generated.
Yeah.
They could disappear and it's still happening.
It's hallucinatory. Yeah. That's what this is. It's hallucinatory. It's engagingly, right? Hallucinatory. Highly pixelated in smell-o-vision. So it's, you know, and it doesn't care. It doesn't give a fuck. It's just acting. And yeah, we just join in. You know, this is like Cats.
I just watched or saw like a clip of Ghostbusters say it was when they're coming out of it, the guy's been hijacked and he's like, no, it's okay. You've just had a violent, prolonged psychic,
right,
episode.
Right.
Like psychiatric,
right,
episode or something.
Yeah.
It's like, where am I? Why am I covered in goo?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Prolonged. That's what this is. This is a violent psychiatric episode.
Prolonged.
Prolonged.
Imaginarily,
yeah,
prolonged.
Yeah, imaginarily prolonged. That's right. Uh-huh. Whoa. Yeah. Holy shit. So strange. And as the habit of, what did we call it? Attributing, right?
Mm-hmm.
is seen through. Then all of that stuff that we've been, you know, fond of pursuing and accumulating, healing and psychic gifts and talking to the dead or raising the dead or running away from the dead, depending on what shows you like to watch, become absolutely absurd. I mean, absurd. All the charge that everything once had that imbued you with, let's say, a reason to live for the next 2 minutes, this is fucking gone. That's intimate. That's a little weird. Because we're so dependent on everything that we've found, right? We're so dependent on everything we hope to find. We're so dependent on the insatiable appetite of being to keep delivering more novelty. That if that dependency ended, that could be a little unsettling. Well, therefore, I mean, I have to sign up for the next Rupert retreat because of the love. No, you're not going because of the love. You're going because you are in a panic of what you would become if you were free from dependency.
Something to do, something to look forward to.
Yeah. That's what separates the, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call it? The men from the boys? The lingam from the yoni? Nothing separates anything. But it's just a matter of, it's a question of the, we could say the maturing nature of your own capacity. Your own capacity to be with yourself, unadulterated, not the product of attributing. All right, and here we are. It's fucking great, and it doesn't even have to feel like anything. You see, because even being on the lookout for this to feel a certain way, you're toast again. You're in attributing. And that's
never going to be quite right. I mean, it's
never going to be quite right.
You don't even know all the factors and things, and you've gotten like a million things and left big chunks out.
Yes,
you know, because you can't. There's no way.
Well, you're apparitional.
You know, I mean, you don't know who you is. You know, you don't know where your consciousness ends and the effect of other consciousnesses, or if there are other consciousnesses. You know what I mean? It's all sort of permeable.
Yeah.
You know, it does. I mean,
yes.
There is a vibe you get in but in this setting, for example, there's this calm.
Even with you schmucks. Snack dependent weirdos.
There's a certain consciousness. That
there is a certain consciousness.
That I feel
that's the most profound thing I've ever heard.
I'm done. It's been great. See ya. I'm gonna go to a 12-step meeting.
Is it within me or is it just the consciousness?
Good luck with that. it's just in you. No, it's just the consciousness. I was kidding. No, it's in you. No, it's the consciousness. Ask me about it on Tuesday.
Don't worry. I've already had like 10 thoughts come to mind. I'm like, see what happened.
It's nothing. It's not attributable. You see, that's just it. It's not attributable, so it's nothing. It really is nothing. If you become good, that's the new T-shirt, Night Sky Sangha. You're like, okay. We don't talk anymore. We're just.
Are you okay? I'm okay.
You're watching something.
We could do this. That's another way. Boom. 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 We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do. Sorry, yeah. Just channeling.
Yeah, I used to wonder why once in a while there'd be someone
change
in the group.
Change the channel.
Everybody's having a grand time, and they go, "I don't get it."
Yeah,
you know, and they're kind of crass, they're kind of disturbing. They're kind of like, hey, I said, "Why don't they just go somewhere so we can get back to this energy.
Oh.
Instead of seeing it as, oh.
Yeah.
You know.
Laugh at them. They won't stay long.
It's a waiver, by the way. Well, actually, it reveals an attachment.
Well.
Like, you're really hungry. You're just about ready to eat. The phone rings. Or the someone knocks on the door.
Yeah.
Somebody needs you. And it's like,
fuck. Yeah.
I'm hungry. I want to eat now.
Right.
Don't. And you have to do something else.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I have no idea where Lowen is.
We know that. We're on to you.
Unexpected and comprehensive direction.
Yeah, no, there's no direction. This is one direction.
No.
The one direction. No direction at all.
This is a
good luck with yourself, you fool.
It's like a free radical word for it or something. Try to catch that thing.
Yeah.
And you better buy it.
So you're texting the Morse code? That's a sweet text.
She presses a button when she wants my to start. Excuse me, I have an important something. I was thinking of getting one of those out for people that just love hearing themselves talk.
I don't know anybody like that.
Definitely not me.
I personally love to hear myself laugh.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different story in a way. Is there duality in laughter? I don't think so.
Well, it helps if you're making fun of something outside yourself.
All you can really do is hear yourself talk, because, like, all I have is my, you know, whatever this experience is of whatever other people are is, like, you know, seemingly only I, like, my experience of ever, the way they sound is through whatever filter I, you know. Including the experience of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say it's always kind of like one step ahead of us. Because attributing, you could say, occurs or by... It's not causal, you see, so it's really hard to say, like, this happens and that happens, and because this happens and that happens, and it's just not like that. It can't be like that. But you could argue for fun that attributing is the genesis of time, because attributing is representational. So even though immediacy never quits, intimacy never quits, attribute-less liberation never quits, the attributing is also never quits. And so the whatever consciousness is, and I'm not saying there is one because there might not be one, does what? It kind of like gravitates toward attributing.
What do you mean there might not be only a consciousness? So that's like the only thing you can really be sure of. Like there's some shit.
That's consciousness. Yeah, there's some shit. That's better.
But I don't want it.
But consciousness, I don't know.
Well,
but there's some shit.
You can put whatever name you want on it.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But again, see the dynamism of a mind that's going, some fucking shit. One that says consciousness, that's like Rupert Spira. That's a problem.
Yeah, that could be like, is that like materialistic?
Well, you got to communicate with some kind of word.
That's right. That's why I did use the word consciousness, but I wasn't all that firm about it.
So you're just trying to just sort of separate from the way it's used more commonly.
That's right. I mean, why do we suffer? Well, because we take each other and ourselves for granted. Through the movement of, you know, call it, you know, verbiage, language, presumption. That's why there's suffering. So I wouldn't want to use the word consciousness with too much confidence, or any word for that matter. Yeah. But yet we, you know, continue to so-called communicate.
Well, he's got an important beat too.
He's in outer space.
I was thinking.
Well, everyone has a reason to be someplace else than here.
Yes, yeah, so the confidence we give to you know, to something, you know, a term, is the degree, I think, of separation in a sense. Like if I, again, using the word consciousness, I'm getting the gist of it.
Yeah.
It has a lot of presumption to it.
Ooh, ooh.
You know, a presupposition.
Yeah.
A position.
Yes.
A disposition.
Yes.
Is in contrast to, in relation to, in contrast, whatever, whatever.
Being higher, lower, different, prior to, after, being in possession of.
Yeah, and then there's not really quite a word for the kind of swimming in the field, in a sense.
Not really.
And kind of getting, you know, riding a wave or, you know, sinking or any number of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can see how attributing can suggest delay, because attributing is metaphorical, it's representational.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a delay, because there's the immediacy of, I don't know what this is at all. Which is accompanied nonstop by, right, the effortless movement or nature of attributing.
Mm-hmm. Forks and knives is food.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, line it all up. Right. Yes, line it all up. Yeah, we'll wait.
Breast and feet and belly button and toes.
Yeah.
It works.
That's right. That's right. And you can see how intoxicating the movement of attributing is, because now it has compartmentalized the otherwise unbroken strangeness into a sense or of boundary, of individuation. As my body, my thoughts, my feelings, my sentiments, my experience, my preferences, my sociology, right? My religion.
Storage junkies.
Yeah, that's right. Attributing is a short, right? A short term for story junkie. And that the movement of attributing, which is association, which is also implication, which is time, is craving and is self. Like, is that? It's not creative, it's not causal. Is that? So there's an immediacy to a mind, call it a mind, or call it right? That's maybe a better word than mind. I'm onto you, motherfucker. Which sees the movement of attributing and the whole field of implication that attributing suggests. And you're free of it, which happens to be where you started, from moment to moment. You start and you end at the same place, nonstop, forever, not that there is any.
Yeah, it's kind of fun and funny at the same time, and strange.
Way strange,
I'm sitting on this planet, and there's other planets going by. And there's night and day and stuff. And it's like, well, there's movement, all this movement in time. And I'm here viewing a daytime or a nighttime. And that's, it's so, it's obviously so. I've got proof. I've got five senses invested in it. And then sometimes it's just blown out of the water.
Yeah.
It's no longer like that.
That's the liberation. The liberation is the felt sense, not just the philosophy, you know. Not just the love coming from somebody else. I mean, really, fuck the love coming from somebody else. Fuck you, Rupert. I mean it. You're the fucking love. And if you're not the fucking love, you should go on another retreat.
Soul.
Right.
Well, at least do some ayahuasca.
Do some ayahuasca, then go on retreat. I mean, that's the whole dilemma. Because you could say transmission, if it occurs, you know, and if it's happened to you, that's fantastic, can be kind of a distorting, right? A distorting challenge. Because if you're not exactly what this is, like only that, you're in trouble. You have to go on retreat. But once you begin to see the the uncanny nature of attributing, as craving, as time, as self, as destination, as implication. You're like, wow, that fucker means business. And then the whole myth of attributing fucking empties out of your soul like faster than fast. It doesn't require time to empty. We think that I have to take a step and take a step and take a step and do a thing and take a step and do it. No, 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 fuck no. Attributing collapses exactly here and curiously has no delay to refresh exactly here because attributing won't quit. It won't fucking quit. It needn't quit. Your association with attributing, you could say, innocent mistaken judgment. It's just an innocent mistake. Attributing is so formidable, you think you're attributing or that you're the consequence of attributing. And therefore, you're a guy sitting on a planet watching things come and go, thinking that your experience is different than everyone else's and that you're here individuated somehow because of attributing.
So,
and it's not really because of either.
I was going to say, so you still have a healthy fear of the candle and not regard it as your own?
Okay. I don't know. I really don't.
Do you have a healthy fear of that candle?
I don't know. The candle's not so much an issue, you know.
It is to him.
I know that. I mean, if it were a Tyrannosaurus, maybe we should talk.
Well, I mean, you put the money near it, and you think, you know, people are putting the you're reaching down there.
I know.
I'm just using it as an example.
I realize.
Have
yeah.
A fixation with the candle.
Do you have a fixation?
I don't. I don't actually.
Well, let us be the judge of that. Yeah, let us decide. Yeah.
All right,
you've
got a thing for candles.
Freudian candle slip.
Freudian candle, that's right. I'm having a Freudian candle slip.
Maybe he's had an interesting experience with candles. And some that we don't want.
Yeah, that's right. I remember Bonnie with the hot wax. She was a player.
I was going to like it, but that didn't really hurt.
Yeah, really. She took me places. There's no doubt about that. She took me places.
The scented ones.
Uh-oh, Bonnie. Here's Bonnie with the Yankee candles. Honeysuckle today, hon? Honeysuckle? Where are we going, Dewdrop? What's it going to be? Honeydew. Oh, yeah, that's my fave. Oh, God. Let me go get the ropes. You're attributing. You know what is a healthy fear of a candle? Well, just don't touch the fucking candle. I mean, leave it alone. You know what I mean? Nothing ever happened to you.
Well, I guess you haven't stuck your hand in there, so I guess that answers my question. There you go.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not Tony Robbins.
After relief, he's right. There with the candle secretly holding the thing in there.
Katie, can we hold the interview?
Next month.
Podcast with Tony Robbins and Katie Couric. Yeah, I want to listen to that shit on the way to work. Fuck you, Tony. Yeah. Right. I mean, this isn't bad, but I do have another retreat I'm going to
experience it.
Oh. Ouch.
Did you just...
You kept talking about it.
Prove me wrong.
Oh!
You can put your finger in there. I was wrong the whole time, right?
Look at him.
Just projection.
He's capable.
That's just sick.
He's like part caveman. So.
Yeah, yeah. He works for Geico.
Look at his shoulders.
Yeah. Hey, he works for Geico. So simple a caveman can do it.
Dressed as a Sasquatch.
Let's eat a rat. Oh, shit.
Wow, man, this is like popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I can really envision Dave in a commercial.
Man, it sounds good.
There's no spiritual question too good to not be laughed at.
Really? Hey, did you get a good deal on car insurance?
Nothing. <I'm so> good.
He's
that's right.
I'm leaving my body. I can feel it. Oh, fuck. It's too hot.
I'll blow the candles up and make more tea.
Oh, boy. It's just too much shocky around here.
God, Lazarus can buy death insurance.
Oh, good point. We should add it to. We'll add it to the script.
Me back, thank goodness.
Yeah, that's right. That check bounced.
Do not resurrect.
Do not resurrect.
That's funny. Do not resurrect.
Resurrection.
It's worse than DNR. Do not resurrect.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Jesus, I
have. Do you have DNR. A DNR and do you have a DNR? Yeah, really.
That's a good. That's our new business plan. Yeah, yeah. Death insurance and right. Do not resurrect.
Really, do not resurrect.
Just got rid of myself.
You have death insurance and do not resurrect. Have you
suffered? Oh fuck!
Came back larger than ever. I got an interview every day of my life after that. How did it feel to be dead and then come back?
That's a good one. We'll have to call James Von Praa about that one.
And why did he do that? Or like, ready? 5 times?
Oh, yeah, Stevie.
Yeah.
I just called to say.
See, y'all thought I had a candle fix.
I love you. You started it.
Medium guy. What are you talking about that he did?
Fingerprints.
That James?
Well, he talks to the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Sees the dead.
Oh, yeah. He's
negotiates with the dead.
He's been doing that one time.
Yeah.
And then,
Someone asked me if I was, someone emailed today and said, was I going to the Joshua retreat in June? I said, no.
Was that something you did?
I've done many times in the past. Right. Each and every time it was held, I was there, yeah.
Oh.
I said something glib, of course, like as I'm kind of usually prone to say. It's like I've made peace with the never-ending existential disturbance that I can't seem to shake.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
You know, where the fuck am I going?
Yeah.
What, to get some, you know, get some love or something? It's like, look, I blow, okay? And
that's why they want you there.
That's it.
I'm good with totally it. Totally okay.
It's okay.
I suck.
You're a failure.
I suck. This is not happening to me.
Okay.
And, phew, I'm okay.
Okay. I'm okay. You suck.
Who runs the Joshua Retreat?
Petey.
Oh. Joshua Tree, New York?
No.
Joshua Tree, California.
Oh, Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Is there a Joshua Tree in New York? Or am I just confusing
it? You are confusing it because you're... Because
I don't go to shit like that.
Because you don't go to shit like that, right?
You're bi-coastal.
Bipolar, more like it. But so is everybody, yeah. That's not saying anything new, is it?
We don't have to interview.
Do not...
We don't judge
here.
Are you bipolar? Yes, come in.
Do not resurrect.
It is sort of crazy how... You're like, you live so close to me. And like, if there was another group, like, I probably wouldn't really fit in. You guys are perfectly dysfunctional.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you created us.
Perfectly dysfunctional.
Yeah. You created us. That's right. Those guys are so fucked up. No wonder I go there. Yeah.
Well, there's no pressure to be something, right?
Well, yeah, according to whose standard?
Being nothing.
So you begin to become very, very friendly with the, call it the formidable, expressive, demonstrative nature of attributing. Very intimate.
Attributing.
I mean, like, the self-explanation on what everything is, like, why shit happens. And
that's one.
Is that just one example?
That's one example. Everything you find in mind is attributing.
Like, I'm here because a car brought me here.
Yeah, everything.
And I wanted to be here.
Everything. Everything that you attribute to so-called present experience.
Like any explanation whatsoever you're considering attributing.
Everything, not just explanations. I mean, really get underneath it. You know, mm-hmm. feel the ineffable nature of present experience and you have no fucking idea what it is. I mean, at all. And so a biological explanation is attributing, a cosmic explanation, a spiritual one. This is like, well, fuck me. How did this happen? When did this happen? When did this thing happen? I don't remember signing up for it. Here it is. You're like, fuck me. What the fuck is this? Shit. That's it. Empty mind. But I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, not at all. Really, not at all. When you can sense that, I don't know what this is at all, you're undefended. And it's by, you could say, contrast of sensing how undefended that is, that you can see the urgency, the assertive nature of attributing. Yeah.
Fill it up, baby. Don't leave me without anything.
Yeah. Yes. And you can also notice how, you know, being a self, a soul, a person, a whatever you take yourself to be, all hinges on the right, the movement of attributing, association, assimilation, metaphor, explanation, space, time, craving, control. Yeah. Yeah. And when, as you pass through the, why don't we use the metaphor candle flame of attributing?
Are you okay?
I'm breathing. I can do this. I can do this. Yeah. I mean, you see how absurd you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to pass through anything to see that.
Right.
I should say I don't.
But see, it's not accompanied by judgment,
like,
or
I'm an idiot, or
right.
I can't believe
it's not accompanied by judgment or fatigue or an urgency to do something about yourself to remedy the fact that there's really nothing that can be done about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't do that. You're like, oh, because attributing is not, you're not doing it. You're not the author of attributing. This, whatever the fuck this is, which would include whatever the fuck you might turn out to be, is doing this.
Well, it's like if you take that in some, you know, you take yourself to be the entirety of your experience and then start, you know, kind of playing with, experimenting, and analyzing the entirety as you, then, yeah, it becomes really trippy and bizarre quickly, because the attributing, you know, yeah, if you're not just doing with the meat puppet.
Yep.
It's very different.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You just see how silly everything, I mean, it's overwhelmingly, insanely, irrationally.
Yes. Yeah.
There's just no hope at all.
No, there's no hope.
You're like, there's no way.
No, there's no hope.
Together.
No.
In some kind of a box.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to Humpty Dumpty this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All the king's horses and all the king's men are not going to put you back together again.
It seems easy if you're just focusing on your problems as a person. That's like, oh, I can do that. But if you start going out kind of further, you're like, oh, fuck, what? I mean, what, globally? What am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll throw a dart. Hell realm am I going to take, you know, a chariot to be of use or service? Yeah. Well, let's say your friends next door, you know, are kind of hippies, and they have a garden out back, and they do extended breastfeeding and family bed, and they haven't immunized their kids, right? and they're cool, real cool people. You smoke pot with them, you have a glass of wine, you go have a fire. I mean, they're like, you're so glad that they're your neighbors. They look after your dog, you look after theirs. It's rock and roll. Then the next day, a couple of armed guards show up with social services to break into their house and take their kids from them because they're not immunized. What are you going to do? Hey, you can't do that. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do about anything?
I mean, what are you going to do about anything?
I'm in the bathroom the other day eating a bagel, and it's just drugs. And I'm like, what am I, yeah, what am I going to, I mean, the commercials, there's this TV on, and it's just
non-stop.
No, it was right outside the bathroom.
You're eating a bagel?
Well, I was eating a bagel.
She was hungry. She was hungry. She had to eat right then.
The entire time I'm in this shop, there's just this. But it's just funny. You're like, what am I, like, everything is just.
I know. It's just dystopian. The dystopian nightmare has arrived.
You can take a pill now to get rid of your turkey neck.
Really? Wow.
I saw a commercial today.
Wow. Yeah, really. Is it like homeopathic made out of turkeys or something?
I don't think so. It's got a nice name, and it's from a nice drug company.
And it's got 20 million side effects.
They probably spent a lot of money and time while people are starting to die.
Do you end up with, like, extra scrotal tissue?
You know,
it's better if you just lay that around and suck it
down. It's a whole different name.
So you have to look into that.
This is an enlightenment meeting. This is about non-duality, goddammit, you people. Are you feeling the love? Are you feeling the love? Come back next week. It works if you work it. I don't even know what to say anymore. You're talking about it. You're talking about it. You're talking about it.
Poor cake.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
Fuck. I'm telling you, when I die, my guru's going to go, look what you've done. You made a mess of everything. I gave you the best years, and look what you did with it. Sorry, I'm really sorry. It got out of hand.
I started out serious.
Fucking cuckoo clock. Cuckoo! Hey, that group's back. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
And it used to even be like a more older kids' room, you know?
It did. It was a little more mature.
Oh, boy. The night sky sung. Well, where you'll go south faster than you can spell south. Mr. Wizard.
It does seem like it takes some time to get used to south, but it actually does. But so entrained to like winning.
Yeah, well, if you're winning, you know, south is the last place you want to be.
Even if you're not, I mean, while it's going south, it just, there's like this, you're like, don't I want to be winning? I don't, you know, it's like this weird.
Right.
Like, I don't think I do, but I feel like.
Have a bagel. Watch some pharmaceutical ads. Relax.
Take the pill for the turkey neck.
That's right. Yeah, go with the turkey neck pill.
Go there. Don't end up with the turkey neck by all means. I
know. Yeah.
A pill for a turkey neck.
Yeah, how does that work?
They framed it as genetic. They framed it as genetic. Like, you get it genetically. Like, the. The ad was brilliant. I'm sorry. Self-track and stuff.
I mean, who's going to buy my browsing history? What?
I don't
the local know. Escort
I don't know
service?
What, what is up with all that shit? It's just to, like, create some kind of fear so you think that there's, like, looking at you all the time.
I don't know what's
you're just
happening.
Kind of, like, masturbating. It's looking, all like, for marketing. No one's watching this.
That's all.
Like, I'm just trying to pleasure myself. No, I don't want to buy a car.
How about a condom? We know what you're doing.
We know what you're doing. Yeah, we know what you're doing. Yeah. What do you need? What do you need with that? Yankee Candle, maybe.
Oh,
Wax on, wax off.
I swear we can get serious again. I know we can. Oh, God.
He's paying us to be quiet now.
Yeah.
Really?
I give.
He's done. He's done. Really. I thought this group was about spirituality.
Nothing.
He's so casual. He's fearless.
What time is it? How long have we been laughing? Oh, it's not that late.
No, I have to.
He has to go.
I'm leaving.
Leaving town?
Leaving town in the morning.
Where for?
Oh, just the Western PA.
Oh, okay. Oh, huh. What's going on out there with the health?
It's the family get together.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll have a nice weekend and stuff.
We'll miss you.
Good riddance. I mean, have a great time.
Well, who's got $2 bills?
We haven't seen $2 bill for a while.
And a dollar coin?
Yeah, when I walk in, the teller's... They just empty their trays of odd things to me.
Give him everything. Give him what he wants.
He actually spent most of his days at the strip club.
I got those dollar coins, and they're so annoying because, you know.
Yeah, I don't want them either.
You know, you think it's a quarter.
No. You can't. If you think that's a quarter, you got to be colorblind.
He is colorblind. You better not handle that.
God, you're so insensitive.
Really? Leave Jamie alone. All right, any questions? Somebody has something on their mind somewhere in this universe.
What the fuck am I going up to see? Jeez, Andy.
I don't know. I don't. But, you know, the whatever.
Don't give me fodder.
Yeah.
Bring back the Sangha.
See, this is, A, this is not about you. B, it's never been about you. C, it will never be about you. It's not about anything. This is just not about anything at all. You're swarming under the hypnotic influence of what we're referring to as attributing. That is creating the entirety of the hallucination of self. That's all there is to see. Going on, you know, various retreats and participating in things are fun and a great way to socialize or do whatever. But there's a really very remarkably simple, call it key. It's just to see as deeply as you can, as progressively as you can, through whatever associations and means as you can, to see the myth of attributing. Right where you are, right where you sit. And as you see it more clearly, and naturally become less defended by virtue of seeing it more clearly, which contributes to seeing it more clearly, which makes you less defended, which enables you to see it more clearly. So you're on a roll. Really, you're on a roll. You flatline. You're no longer a product of attributing. You don't need to go everywhere. Everyone would be wise to come and see you.
Probably no one will.
And most likely, nobody will.
Okay.
So don't be disappointed. Yeah. Yeah. Because most of the dumb fucks that, you know, go hang out with so-called, you know, circuit-based celebrity gurus that pull out a lot of love, they're fucking lost in space.
Why would you subject yourself to that anyway? It's like, dude, I don't have a 9-to-5 because I don't want to be subjected to that, let alone put myself out there in some bizarre manner.
I've spent most of my life doing it and doing it with gusto, you know, and justified every moment of it. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. Do it. Do what you have to do. But if you're lucky enough to find, let's just say, a mentor that is capable of presenting to you, of demonstrating and articulating the curious and hypnotic nature of attributing, that's a gift. And it's, you would be wise then to take that gift all the way home. Going back over and over and over again. I don't know. Find your own voice in this. See how that percolates through your own consciousness, your own soul. Right? The cessation of attributing. The irrationality of what this might actually be. Find your own voice. Speak about it, you know, to yourself or whomever else you have the privilege of hanging out with. Speak about it confidently. Right? Dismantle yourself out loud. I mean, that's, what the fuck is it? What do? I mean, we laugh a lot, we eat a lot, we dismantle ourselves out loud. Okay, that's cool. That's worth it. Dismantle yourself out loud.
Yeah, I was driving around earlier thinking, like, most of the time it's like, oh, like, I'm, you know, doing all this shit and responsible for all this shit.
Yeah.
And this is, like, a only a tiny departure from that, and, like, just more attributing, but I just thought that, like, the desire to, like, do what I'm doing, like, it's just, like, I have the perfect, like, personality type to go be involved in this. So it's like, oh, like, you know, whatever, I don't want to say pride, but doership is just like, not really. Like, you know, I'm just like a magnet going to do like what a magnet shaped like me would do. Like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What a magnet shaped like you would do. Yeah, that's right.
Like snails in a surf zone that smell dead flesh and then surf ride waves to go in.
Oh, yeah. Snails.
Snails that smell dead
flesh and
ride waves.
They ride waves, they surf to get to the flesh.
To the flesh,
they
yeah.
They move.
That is trippier than the bagel and cheese.
Yeah, that's about
mushroom. We all wonder what Francine's world is really like. We got a lot of glimpses
now. A whitefish bagel and a outside a bathroom with a pharmaceutical.
I was laughing really hard in the bathroom and I'm like, I wonder if people are like, what the fuck is she doing? Like in the bath, yeah.
What's she on?
Laughing. Because it was like, I'm going to the bathroom, it's like anal bleeding, blah, blah, blah. Oh, just another
day. They got
day.
Your number,
on
yeah.
On planet Earth, anal bleeding, trying to eat a bagel, thank
yeah,
you.
That's right.
Regalsville hasn't been the same.
Everything is awesome.
It's awesome.
Oh, I think it was Spurn. I was listening to a history of Winston Churchill.
Oh.
And the guy was making the case that, like, if that man was born to do one thing, it was, like, literally exactly what he had done at his history at that point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was good at it.
Yeah. It contrasted it with how he was, like, not good in peacetime then, of course.
Yeah.
And he made reference to, I think it was Native American tribes who had two leaders, one that ruled in peacetime and one that ruled in wartime.
I see.
Because they recognized the incompatibility of those two positions.
Yeah. Huh. Right. So our present leader must be ruling in fuck time.
If only.
If only, yeah.
He was born exactly to do what he's doing.
Fuck time.
Not doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, you should be arrested for your hair.
I gotta say, though, for his age, he looks good. He's like 70, what? 71.
Really?
He doesn't, like, I don't think he looks like he's 70.
He does not look like 70.
Yeah. He looks worse unless you see him on the golf course.
When he was bald.
Then he does.
You run into him on the golf course?
I've seen pictures.
I think some of his pictures are photoshopped. The one juxtaposed to Barack and him, I mean, he's, you know, pretty heavy.
that they I, the one like thinned out Barack and like expanded his gut, and they're like, ah, look at like. And then they showed the original, and he's like, all right, he's not that bad looking. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, they just showed some pictures of him on the golf course.
Oh, it was on TV then. Or the internet. I'm just saying the TV's...
On the internet.
Oh, well, then they might have been photoshopped. On TV, probably not. Maybe.
No,
I guess I wouldn't put it past like CNN to Photoshop whole, president to look fat.
The whole universe is photoshopped.
Yes. Everything is...
I guess he's probably like in full makeup all the time on TV, so...
Okay, everybody is.
And tailored suits made in China.
I've heard that even China is made in China.
That was deep.
Yeah. Just trying to reel it back in, you know? Back to the candle experience.
Yeah, that's right. Found the portal.
And so Paul Herman's talk, I did not know it was just going to be like a straight AA meeting.
That was, wasn't it?
That was.
How long did you stay?
Lisa,
10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you just stayed the whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
You went out for drinks right after.
No, my mom came and met me there, and my friend too, Ryan. So mm-hmm.
Oh, Ryan was there?
Yeah.
And your mom too?
She showed up. Yeah, she did too.
Nice.
I was going to get started, but then he said drinks.
And oh, you guys, I didn't even realize the idea. You guys went for drinks afterwards?
Yeah. Margaritas.
I wasn't fired. I'm like, you know what? I should get sober. I'm really thinking about this. And then Jeff's like, should we go get drinks? I'm like, yes.
Also inspired by that, yeah.
Less than 5 minutes.
So what's your drinks?
Yeah.
I think so. I'll start tomorrow.
Don't be attached to sobriety. That's smart.
Yeah.
Tomorrow,
yeah, I'll start tomorrow.
We just had one.
My mother said she enjoyed it because she had heard him speak before and liked to hear like the background.
Oh, she enjoyed that long biography
that
of hell.
The one of us. And I thought like, I don't mind a biography, but like the biography mixed with like the AA, I can't take it.
Well, he was, I guess, under a lot of bizarre pressure from those people. Like, he didn't wear the right, he was supposed to wear like a nice shirt and a tie. And, you know, AA is like, he said something about drugs. He's like, can I say that? You know, because AA, NA people, it's really a bizarre, no cursing. There's a lot of rules and, you know, it's very hard for someone like Paul, I'm imagining, to operate under that. You know,
yeah.
I'd be like,
wild
like
animal.
He was respectful of our wishes.
He was. He asked if he could talk about
the first one with their dress code.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty serious meeting. There was like at least 200 people there.
That was pretty serious.
No, it was like
I think the guy collecting money was wearing like diamond studded earrings.
Yeah. Every Saturday night, you can go there and get a dog.
They have dogs every Saturday?
I think so, yeah. I think they put out a spread every Saturday, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I know. I was thinking a little puppy.
A hot dog.
I wouldn't put it past them. They're like, little sobriety.
A hot dog and a hot dog and some Yankee candles.
You're like, all right, I'll come. Yes.
It was funny because, like, I gave a caricature of, like, an AANA meeting, like, weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, literally my caricature. It was, like, his what he did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Your story, make it good and entertaining.
His fourth step quote workshop that was before that was way better.
A lot less people there?
A lot less people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like just a normal Fetterman talk. He didn't give his, like, his drug sort of experience thing. But it was better. It was similar. He touched on some of the same things, mm-hmm. but it was less of here's my horrific drug and alcohol story and more of what I'm more interested in from it. Whatever the hell that is.
It reminds me of that Chappelle skit where he talks about how he stopped smoking weed with black people. He only smokes with white people because black people always talk about their problems. He's like, man, when I'm smoking, I'm trying to run away from my problems. He's like, white people, the only thing they talk about when they got high is other times they got high.
Remember the time we got high? Yeah, dude.
Frank's week, man, fucking smashed. It's funny, too, because, being like a high school kid, whatever, like getting high, and then like hearing his thing was like, oh my god, we literally did exactly what he said. Like, you like make lists of like the shit that you took, like, and then just talk about other times you got high, and that was it, man.
Yeah.
He really hit that one like dead the freak on.
That's what they do at AA. Only also nothing new has happened to them because they're not using anymore, so it's repetitive and redundant because you're still just telling the same fucking stories from when you were using.
I mean, it's not like really like. I mean, it's like sort of fun, but it's like, I don't know, just like a little bit of like AA mixed in like kills it for me. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a miserable fuck, but the people are like giving like,
maybe
they're like, like I hate that like like I don't know, like grunting agreement. I don't know why it just like rubs me the wrong way.
Because you're you.
Yeah. I guess there's people like, you know, I'm like, this sucks. They're like, this is great. I'm like, fuck that person.
Why is it that we can relate to you so well? I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah. Wow, this circle's about to explode real soon. I mean, it's going to be big.
It's going to be messy. Blood all over the walls.
Yeah.
Big, like $40 a session big?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go to a $40 kirtan again.
No, yeah, don't do it.
Even though it only cost me $20.
Right.
You can buy yourself a suit.
That Krishnadas man, he's pretty full of himself in a really humble way.